Rufus Wainwright has been busy writing an opera and performing a high-profile tribute to the famous Judy Garland Carnegie Hall concert in 1961. He also produced his new album, Release the Stars, himself. It's for the first time, although he did have help from the Pet Shop Boys' Neil Tennant as executive producer. And I started our talk off by asking him what that meant for Neil to be the executive producer.
That basically means that we would just go out to dinner and talk about waiters and how cute they are or not. No, Neil is one of the great musical minds of the pop world, mainly because he has an equal appreciation for high art and low culture, and kind of tries to mesh them both. And I just wanted some of that that knowledge to be around in terms of advising me on certain things. I mean, he didn't, you know, he actually sang on the album a bit and helped in the studio a little here and there, but it was mostly just for his stark opinion,
right?
which he would always feel free to give.
Are you good at hearing that? Are you good at hearing people say this works, this does not work?
I think from people who you respect, you know, it's a necessary event, I've gotten pretty good at it, but I have to say it's only really through torturous circumstances that I'm able to do it today, because I worked with some pretty big critics over the years.
Right. Well, it seems, for just a couple of listenings, that Release the Stars has, I want to say it rocks a little bit more, but it's got a kind of a really wonderful kind of pop music sheen to it, and I'm just wondering if that's where you were headed, or that's where Neil was headed, or
no, I mean, that's where I was headed. I don't know. I think what happened essentially is that I wanted this album to be much more. Initially, I wanted it to be this sort of dark, intimate, bare bones affair, and that's actually why I went to Berlin initially, was to kind of become David Bowie or Lou Reed and get cool. But the way I started out the project was to track all the songs with my band and just have it be kind of a jangly, jam-like experience where we're just humming along and stuff. And so that was the core of the album. And then when I went to Berlin, instead of, you know, hanging out at hip cafes and, you know, underground bars, I ended up wearing Lederhosen and going to Bayreuth and getting all into Wagner and stuff and German Romanticism. And that's when the whole classical thing reared its head, and I went and I was really kind of possessed by the old masters. But I think having that initial jam thing at the beginning helped, you know, make it a little more accessible and more fun, you know, because that's what's sort of underneath all the French horns.
And one of the preview I think it was in The Guardian in London, one of the lines in it says, "This is Rufus's first post-rehab album." Is that relevant at all?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it is interesting that this album is completely separated from that whole debacle, you know, everything. Well, that's actually a couple of songs that I wrote a few years ago. But initially, it's me now as I am, and there's no sort of personal transfiguration happening as yet. Everything can change on a dime, but I feel that it's very much. You know, some people. It's interesting with England. They're much more into that than here in the United States. They're kind of a party culture. So.
And also, music as gossip is far bigger in England.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And they just don't have that Puritan thing that we have here.
And we do. There's a piano in the room. Do you want to warm up with something?
Yeah. I'm gonna actually start off with an old rehab favorite. Called Art Teacher from my last album, just to warm up my voice a bit. Here we go. There I was in uniform,
never have I loved since then. He was not that much older than I was. He had taken our class to the Metropolitan Museum. He asked us what our favorite work of art was, but never could I tell him it was him. Though I wish I could tell him. Oh, I wish I could have told him. I looked at the Rubens and Rembrandts. I liked the John Singer Sargents. He told me he liked Turner. And never have I turned since then. No, never have I turned since.
Rufus Wainwright warming up.
Moment in there, but hey.
Well, yeah, it's live. Warming up on the art teacher, a song about life maybe not turning out like our dreams. But I'm thinking about Rufus, the young guy living in wherever you were living in Montreal or
yes.
Westchester or wherever you might have been, and your interests are opera, and you fall in love with Al Jolson's music, and you fall in love with Judy Garland's music, and yeah. here within a very short period of time, those dreams all come true. You write an opera, and you get to recreate that the Judy yeah. Garland concert.
Yeah. Well, I haven't written the opera yet.
But, oh.
I'm almost done Act One, and that's going to take a few years just to really perfect just with orchestrations and stuff. But yeah, no, the Judy Garland thing happened, and I am being commissioned at the moment by the Met. It's a long process, that. I guess I am an example of, stick to your dreams and they will unfold, eventually.
And I'm listening to the art teacher, and I can't help but thinking about what your writing is going to be like for the opera.
I've been recording bits and pieces of it here and there with me singing it at the moment. Actually, I have some other moments with opera singers, but I was listening to it last night, and there is something there. I mean, I don't know what it is quite, but a lot of music is kind of pouring forth, and the story is progressing. And I think that that's often the case with theater and musical drama in that way, where the characters really demand to come to life, and you're only kind of, you know, a messenger, you know, in a lot of ways. So it seems to have a life of its own, which I'm happy about.
Now, was the Judy Garland concert more difficult than you expected?
That definitely had a life of its own.
Yeah, and still does, I guess.
Yeah, no, that was a great experience, and feels at this point somewhat surreal, almost as if it never happened.
You're doing it again?
So outrageous. I'm doing one. Well, I'm doing. Who knows if it'll happen again? But it's definitely happening. After that, but it's definitely happening at the Hollywood Bowl in September.
Oh, that's great.
So that'll be fun. And then the album should be coming out around then, too, of the New York performance at Carnegie Hall.
Rufus Wainwright is our guest, and we're not necessarily talking about those many other things that he's involved with. We're talking about Release the Stars, which is the new album, and we have yet to hear a song from it.
I'll play you a song from it. This next song is Sans Souci, which I wrote for the new album, Release the Stars, and it's Sans Souci pertains to two things. One, the actual meaning, which is without cares or without worries, and the other is that it's a palace, the name of a palace in Potsdam, which is outside Berlin, built by Frederick the Great. Once again, I'm always writing about pertinent subjects.
At Sans Souci tonight, the boys that made me lose the blues and then my eyesight, all together playing games of cards, gambling the tiny shards of bread. Ballroom. candles seem to all have been blown out. Cupid's wings of cobweb rings and no one's about. Could it be I came to the wrong place? But I swear I saw them climb the stairs. That sweet master race, who will be at Sans Souci tonight? It's only when you're outside that you notice. Only
Sans Souci, not an elegy from Rufus Wainwright.
No.
Singing live today. And what a line that is. That's a hard one, that melody line there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that one, you mean,
yeah.
In the middle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a twister, yeah.
Indeed.
Comes in, surprises one.
That is from Release the Stars, which is Rufus's new album. And it's not all about European locations. It's the song Tulsa. Which seems to be about the front man of the Killers, Brandon Flowers.
Yeah, I've only met him once. We talked on the phone a couple of times afterwards, but we had this evening together at this bar in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was just, I don't know, I was honestly kind of starstruck and smitten with him in terms of good old-fashioned rock and roll lust. he's very, I mean, he's a really nice guy, but he's also got this sort of edge to him and a kind of American, brooding, sensitive, Brando-esque quality. And it was just, I don't know, it's always fun to meet people like that.
And I love this song.
Even if you don't know them that well.
I love this song because Sans Souci, it's kind of, you're looking for this perfect night at the palace, and here you're kind of going around the streets looking in windows and, you know.
Yeah. No, it's very atmospheric, for sure.
Definitely. Well, let's play it. This is from the album. This is Tulsa.
Taste of potato chips in the morning. Your face has the Marlon Brando Club calling. And who would have thought that I'd owe it all to Tulsa? That we both signed together. Once he hears this song, won't live it down forever. Your suit was the whitest thing since you know who. I feel that savior I have mentioned. And who would have thought that I'd owe it all to Tulsa? And that poor girl Once she hears the song, we'll live it down completely.
Rufus is back at the piano, and what do you want to do now?
Well, now I'm going to do the single from the album that we are releasing as a which has a video and everything. It's called "Going to a Town," and it's I always have to do this one with a slight disclaimer that I never intended to write this song. It kind of just came to me in about 2 minutes, and really, like the Judy Garland project or the opera, has a life of its own, and it's about the United States and sort of my general disillusionment and also mainly sadness over, you know, something which I love very much, a place that I love very much and that we all care about and that we're all kind of depressed about. So yeah, it's called "Going to a Town."
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes that never really seemed to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own. I got a soul.
good morning.
Going to a town is another one from Release the Stars. Now, where did you write that?
I wrote that at home in New York. Mm. I was intending to go out to dinner and have a pleasant, you know, evening with friends, and I just had a few minutes to spare, and I sat down at the piano, and next thing you know, that song was written, and then once I went into the studio, I recorded it, and the first ever take ended up being the one on the album, and then when people hear the track on the record, it has this kind of immediate pull, which is always important for a single, and it's, you know, it's, and I'm, and I want to say something, you know, in my work that's at least, you know, have some kind of effect. I mean, I don't want it to be, I'm not doing it to, you know, to be a shit disturber or anything, but I do feel, I do like to make people think, if possible. sometimes I don't, you know, sometimes I
Well, you're always making people think,
well.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you have dual citizenship because of the way you grew up? Do you have a...
Yeah, no, I have both. I live here, and I was born in the United States, but I grew up in Canada and spent a lot of most of my youth there. So I have both, yeah.
Now, I know you're getting set for looks like a rather lengthy tour, and people should know that Richard Thompson's on the album, and you're going out with Teddy again, and who else is playing?
Yeah, I'm going out with Teddy on the West Coast, and also I'll be doing some shows in New York City, I can't remember when, but soon, and he's opening for one of them, one of the evenings. So, with him opening for me, but I have an incredible band that I'm bringing out, which is comprised of all men, mostly because all the women I work with seem to turn to gold and leave me, whether it's Martha or my friend Joan Wasser or Lucy Roach, my other sister, and so they're all doing their own thing. But what I did for this band is that I hired these three young, beautiful horn players who will, you know, add some muscle to the band, and also I have an incredible new addition who's his name is Jerry Leonard, and he's the guitar player, and he's also David Bowie's guitar player. So it's going to be a pretty substantial stage phenomenon.
That's great.
And there'll be a lot of costume changes. Look out.
People may know Jerry. I guess he also worked with Duncan Sheik a bit, too. So
he did. And he has his own material as well that he does.
Well, Rufus, thanks for the new album. And
thank you.
We kind of heard the stage show versions of the CinemaScope today, but people should definitely hear Release the Stars.
Yes, thank you.
Rufus Wainwright, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on The World Cafe.